Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're all about executive function today. And to help us with that, we've got some pretty fascinating research from the National Center for Learning Disabilities. I gotta tell you, I had a few aha moments myself just getting ready for this deep dive.
It's one of those topics that really makes you think differently about how our brains work. Like, why do we do the things we do?
Exactly. So let's just start with the basics. What is executive function? It's one of those terms I feel like everyone uses, but I'm not sure everyone really knows what it means.
It's kind of like the behind-the-scenes crew that makes all the amazing things our brains do happen. You know what I mean? It's a set of mental processes that help us connect past experiences with what we're doing right now.
Okay, so it's a little more than just being organized and managing your time, although I know those are part of it.
Yeah, it's bigger than that. The research actually describes it as an umbrella term that covers a whole bunch of cognitive processes, including working memory, flexible thinking, and impulse control, even emotional regulation.
Whoa, that's a pretty big list. So how does all of that play out in our everyday lives?
Just think about it this way. You're trying to tell your friend a story. To do that clearly, you have to remember what happened first, what happened next. Organize your thoughts and maybe even adjust your storytelling, like based on your friend's reactions. That's all executive function.
That's a great example. I've never thought of it that way.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The research points out that executive function also helps us to like meaningfully include past knowledge in discussions. So it's like our brains are connecting the dots between what we know and what's happening right now.
So it's not just remembering facts, it's like actually being able to use them.
Yeah.
Which is pretty important in a world that's constantly changing.
Absolutely. And just like any skill, some people are just naturally stronger in certain areas of executive function than others. Some might need a little more support. That's where executive dysfunction comes in.
I was wondering when we'd get to that. What are some signs that someone might be struggling with executive dysfunction? The research did mention that it could be pretty subtle, especially with kids.
You might see things like difficulty planning projects, trouble getting started on tasks, forgetting instructions even after they've been repeated several times, or just struggling to control impulses.
I can see how all that could be misinterpreted as laziness or maybe even defiance, especially in a classroom.
Yeah, that's a common misconception. It's important to remember that executive function skills actually develop gradually over time. So a child who's struggling isn't doing it on purpose. Their brain just might need a little more support to develop those areas.
That makes a lot of sense. Speaking of support, the research highlighted 5 key areas of executive function that are critical for academic success. Can you break those down for us?
Definitely. So we're talking about organizing, prioritizing, shifting, which is like thinking flexibly, accessing working memory, and then self-monitoring, which is like self-checking. So imagine trying to write an essay without any of those skills. Oh gosh, it'd be a mess. You wouldn't know where to begin, how to structure your thoughts, or even how to make sure that you're staying on track.
Exactly. It'd be a disaster.
Mm.
And the research uses this really powerful analogy to describe these challenges. They call it the clogged funnel. It's like information's trying to flow through, but it gets stuck at different stages because there's difficulty with planning, organization, working memory, and so on.
I love that the clogged funnel, it really helps to visualize how all these different areas are connected.
And here's the thing, executive function. It's not just about academics. It impacts how we behave, how we manage our emotions, and how we interact with others.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting. I know the research touched on this, but can you elaborate on the connection between executive function and our emotions?
Yeah, well, think about it. If you're constantly struggling to process information, manage your time, regulate your impulses, even little things can feel overwhelming. And when we feel overwhelmed, our emotions, they tend to run high. That's so true. I've definitely had those moments where I'm like about to lose it over something that seems totally insignificant later on. Could that be executive function?
Absolutely. The research even mentions meltdowns over small things as a potential sign of executive function challenges. It's not about the thing itself. It's that the person is struggling with all of these unseen mental processes all at once, and it's just too much.
Whoa. That changes how we look at behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily about the person being difficult or overly sensitive, but it's more that they might need some support developing these underlying executive function skills.
You got it. And this is where recognizing and addressing executive function is so important, because it's not just about school. It's about our well-being and being able to just navigate life.
I am learning so much already. It's like seeing the world in a whole new way. But before we go any further, I want to make sure we have time to really dive into those strategies for supporting executive function development, because I know that's something a lot of our listeners are really eager to hear about.
You're right. That's an important part of this conversation. Let's dig into what we can do to help ourselves and others strengthen those essential skills.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So where do we even begin with supporting executive function? Well, the good news is there are tons of practical strategies we can use both at home and in school.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. I know a lot of our listeners are probably feeling a little overwhelmed right now. Like, okay, this all makes sense, but what do I actually do?
Well, the first step is to just create an environment that's going to help foster those skills. Think about setting up clear rules using visual aids like checklists or schedules, breaking down tasks into smaller, more manageable chunks, and, you know, offering lots of positive reinforcement along the way.
That's interesting. It sounds like it's all about providing structure and support, almost like building a scaffold to help those executive function skills develop.
That's a great way to put it. The research actually emphasizes the importance of routines and consistency. When things are predictable, it really helps ease anxiety, and it can make someone with executive dysfunction feel more in control.
So instead of just expecting them to get organized or focus better, we need to create the conditions that actually allow those skills to develop.
Yeah, exactly. It's like building a bridge.
Yeah.
You need those strong supports in place until the structure can stand on its own. And even then, some people might need those supports a little longer than others. There's no one-size-fits-all approach here.
Okay, so we've got clear rules, visual aids routines, breaking down tasks. What about that positive reinforcement? What does that look like in practice?
It's all about recognizing and celebrating effort, not just outcomes. So someone struggling with executive function might put in a ton of effort just to complete a really simple task. And acknowledging that can be incredibly motivating.
So it's less about, did you get the right answer? And more about, hey, I see how hard you're working on this. I appreciate your effort.
Yes, precisely. It's about shifting the focus from achievement to the process of learning and growing. And this applies to adults, too, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. We all need a little positive reinforcement sometimes. Speaking of adults, I know a lot of our listeners are probably thinking about those classic temper tantrums that we often see with little kids. Could those be linked to executive function challenges as well?
Oh, for sure. Imagine a child who's struggling to process language, follow directions, regulate their impulses all at the same time. It's like their systems are overloaded and they just don't have the tools to manage those big feelings yet.
So those meltdowns aren't really about the thing itself, but more like a buildup of frustration from struggling with all these mental processes behind the scenes.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to approach those situations with empathy and understanding. Instead of bad behavior, we can see it as a sign that the child needs more support developing those executive function skills.
Wow, what a different way to look at it. It's not about punishing the child for having a meltdown. Mm-hmm. It's about giving them the tools to handle those big feelings.
You got it. And one of those tools is helping them understand working memory and how it plays into all of this. The research describes it as our brain's post-it note, that temporary holding space for information we're actively using.
Oh, I love that analogy. Mm-hmm. It really paints a picture of what's going on up there.
Right. And the thing is, working memory, it's got limited capacity. It's like a mental juggling act. If you try to hold too much information at once, something's going to drop.
So for someone with working memory challenges, even simple tasks can feel incredibly overwhelming.
Think about a child trying to remember a spelling list while also remembering where they put their pencil and what the teacher just said. It's no wonder they get frustrated or shut down.
So how can we help support working memory? I know the research mentioned chunking as a helpful strategy.
Chunking is a great strategy. It's all about breaking down large pieces of information into smaller, more manageable units. So instead of like giving a long list of instructions all at once, you break it down step by step.
So instead of clean your room, put away your laundry, then finish your homework, It's more like, okay, first let's pick up all the clothes on the floor. Great job. Now let's put away the toys.
Exactly. By giving one instruction at a time, we're reducing the load on working memory and making it easier for them to follow through.
That's such a simple adjustment, but it can make such a difference. And I bet this applies to adults too.
Of course. Think about trying to remember a complicated presentation or a long to-do list. Chunking can really help you organize and prioritize those tasks so you're not totally overwhelmed.
So beyond chunking, are there any other ways that we can support working memory?
Well, repetition and practice are key. The more we use those working memory muscles, the stronger they become. So games and activities that involve sequencing, pattern recognition, memory recall, those can be really helpful.
Makes sense. It's like any other skill. The more you practice, the better you get. But what about those situations where working memory challenges are really impacting daily life? What can we do then?
Well, the first thing is to remember that everyone learns differently. Some people are visual learners, some are auditory. The key is to figure out what works best for that individual and tailor your support.
So if someone's a visual learner, we might use diagrams, charts, visual organizers to help them process information.
Exactly. And if they're more auditory, maybe encourage them to repeat instructions out loud or use audio recordings to help them learn.
This deep dive is seriously giving me a new perspective on how people learn and just function in the world. It's like we've got this secret decoder ring for understanding behavior now.
I know, right? And that's the power of understanding executive function. It's not about diagnosing or labeling anyone, but just building empathy and understanding, recognizing that we all have different strengths and challenges, and that with the right support, we can all thrive.
That's beautiful. It's about empowering people to understand themselves better and advocate for their own needs.
And creating a more supportive environment where everyone has a chance to succeed.
I love this conversation. But before we wrap up, I'm really curious about the connection between executive function and emotions. The research mentioned emotional control as a key skill, and I think that's something a lot of people struggle with, adults included. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's definitely a common challenge, and it ties back to those impulse control issues we talked about earlier. If you're constantly fighting the urge to interrupt or blurt things out, react impulsively, it can be really draining emotionally. It's like you're always in fight or flight mode.
So it's not about just learning to control your emotions. It's understanding why they might be so heightened in the first place.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that those emotional outbursts might be a symptom of a struggle with executive function, not a character flaw.
Okay, this is blowing my mind. So even something like getting frustrated easily could be a sign of executive function challenges. I never would have thought of that.
It's all connected. And the more we understand about those connections, the better we can support each other.
I'm so glad we're having this conversation. It's been eye-opening, but I know we're running short on time. Before we move on, can you talk about the idea of recognizing strengths when it comes to supporting executive function? The research mentioned that as being crucial.
That's such a great point. Just like with any learning challenge, you've got to understand the individual strengths and weaknesses. Some people are visual learners, others auditory. The key is to figure out what works best and use that to our advantage.
So for visual learners, we might use diagrams, charts, visual organizers.
You got it. And for auditory learners, encourage them to repeat instructions out loud or use audio recordings. It's about meeting them where they are.
This deep dive is seriously like a new lens for looking at how people learn and function. It's like we have a secret decoder ring for behavior.
And that's the power of this whole thing. It's not about diagnosing or labeling anyone. It's about building empathy and understanding. We all have different strengths and challenges, and with the right support, we can all thrive.
That's such a beautiful way to put it. It's about empowering people to understand themselves better and advocate for what they need.
Exactly. And it's about creating a more inclusive and supportive environment where everyone has the chance to be successful.
This has been such a fascinating and insightful discussion. But before we wrap up, I'm curious to hear your take on the more positive side. We've talked about the challenges of executive dysfunction, but what about the benefits of strong executive function skills?
Oh, the benefits are huge. Individuals with strong executive function skills are typically better at planning and organizing, managing their time, effectively achieving their goals. They're more flexible and adaptable to change, better at problem solving and decision making.
So it's not just about avoiding the negative, it's about unlocking all these positive possibilities.
Exactly. Strong executive function skills can lead to greater success in school, improved relationships, increased overall well-being. It's about reaching your full potential.
That's inspiring. I'm really seeing how these skills are foundational for living a fulfilling and happy life.
And the best part is these skills aren't set in stone. They can be developed and strengthened over time with the right support and strategies.
That's such a hopeful message. So even if someone is struggling, they can still learn and grow and achieve their dreams.
Absolutely. And don't forget, everyone learns at their own pace. It's not about comparing ourselves to others. It's about focusing on our own progress.
I love this. It's been an incredible deep dive. I'm so grateful for your insights.
It's been my pleasure. I hope this conversation has helped you appreciate the power of executive function and inspired you to learn more.
It has, for sure. And for our listeners, stay with us as we wrap up this deep dive with some final thoughts and key takeaways. We've covered so much in this deep dive into executive function. It's amazing how much it impacts our lives, learning behavior, emotions, social skills. It's a lot.
Yeah, it really is. It's like this super complex system in our brains that affects so much of what we do and who we are.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what would you say is the most important takeaway for our listeners?
You know, for me, it really boils down to awareness. Just understanding what executive function is and how it works. It's huge. It gives us a whole new way of looking at ourselves and others. with more empathy and compassion.
I love that, because so often those struggles with executive function, they get mislabeled as laziness or defiance or just bad behavior, when really it's often a sign that someone just needs a little extra support to develop these skills.
Exactly. It's not about judging or blaming. It's about understanding and helping each other to thrive.
Hmm.
And the good news is there are so many practical things we can do to support executive function.
And the research really highlighted that these skills they develop over time. Everyone learns at their own pace and in their own way. That's got to be reassuring for parents and educators who might be worried about a child's development.
Absolutely. That's so important to remember. There's no one-size-fits-all approach here. What works for one person might not work for another. It's all about finding the right strategies for each individual and being flexible.
The research did give us some great ideas to start with, though, like clear rules, visual aids, breaking down tasks, routines, positive reinforcement. We can start using those right away. At home, in the classroom, at work, anywhere, we need a little extra help.
Exactly. And the key is to remember that even small changes can make a big difference. It's about celebrating those little wins and knowing that progress takes time.
This whole deep dive has been so empowering. It's not about fixing or labeling anyone. It's about giving people the tools and understanding they need to reach their full potential.
And remember, you're not alone in this. There are resources available, support groups, communities online, in person. You can connect with people who get it.
So to wrap things up here, what's one final thought you want to leave our listeners with?
Keep learning. Keep asking questions. And most importantly, be kind to yourself and to others. Executive function. It's a journey, not a destination. And with the right support and a little patience, we can all achieve amazing things.
That's a beautiful thought to end on. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
The pleasure was all mine. Thanks for having me.
And to all our listeners out there, thanks for tuning in to The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.